Welcome back, everybody, to another fun-filled episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hobbyhead Productions. I'm your host, Sean, co-host, Danny. Why would somebody raid for 4 hours, man?
I don't know, man. Stockholm Syndrome at this point?
One raid to rule them all.
I mean, did you at least defeat the raid, or did you end up, like, rage quitting and throwing your controller at the TV like a child?
We did finish it. Somehow we were able to do... We had to go through 4 rounds of DPS to finish it, which I have no idea how we survived 4 rounds. So, because we had, like, a new person in, it was just, that raid is such a pain in the ass. You know, people are getting angry after, like, the second hour.
Well, I mean, at that point, they're probably, like, hangry, not just angry.
Yeah, probably. I'm so hangry, you don't even know. But yeah, so we were doing Garden of Salvation last night. Started at 8 and we finished at midnight Eastern. It was kind of a pain in the ass.
And did you have any of your international friends in the raid with you?
We had 2 from the UK and then 1 from Australia. I don't know why the 2 from you, the UK raid with us that late at night, because it's like 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. Like, I think when we finished it, they went to bed at, like, 5 in the morning.
Yeah, I used to listen to a podcast on Final Fantasy XIV, and, like, one of the people was based in San Francisco, and then 2 of them were based in Minnesota area, and then the 4th one was in the UK. And they're like, they would record, and they're like, yeah, like, I need to go to bed at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh man, that sounds right.
So,
yeah. So I was gonna say, like, and
so Sean, I have my own first world problem.
Do you do?
Oh,
what kind of first world problem do you have, man?
No. You go ahead, finish. You finish your raid story.
I was just gonna explain. You know, this boss encounter. You have 2 teams of 2 running through portals, and then the boss like removes part of the ground. And so you have to, like, replace the ground so you could, like, fight. And then obviously you have to kill adds and have them prevent them from sacrificing. But the worst part is that you have to tether between, like, the pole and, like, this other piece between you and people. So if somebody, like, runs between, like, the chain team, it, like, screws everything up. And then the boss only has 1 spot you can DPS, and of course you have to use like some kind of sniper to do it. And then on top of that, the map is very glitchy because for some reason Bungie decided to make the boss area be included in the same area as like the giant map on how to climb up there. So like there's a lot of data cycling going on because the map is so huge, because they didn't just make it like 1 small boss area, they made it like the entire thing, like the way to get all the way up there. And it's don't get me wrong, like it's one of the most beautiful raids I've seen from like a landscape and art standpoint, but it's such a pain in the ass because it gets so laggy and whatnot. It gets very frustrating.
Right. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like the concept sounds cool, they just didn't implement it the proper way.
Yeah. So yeah, and I have to do it again because I got there's a special exotic gun that I don't have yet, and I need it. I gotta do it again.
So you gotta do it at least a dozen times?
Yeah. But the nice thing is
it a random drop or is it a guaranteed drop?
No, it's a guaranteed. It's a quest line drop.
So okay.
You gotta finish. I didn't realize. I thought it was always just... I thought it was a drop at the end, but I was told last night in the middle of the raid that it was not. And I was like, well, damn. Shame on me for like, not, you know, double checking.
I just remembered something. I don't belong here now. Later, and then quit. Isn't that the proper way to handle it?
Yeah. True, but, you know, as a mod of the Destiny community, I have to make sure that I'm upholding, you know, reasonable expectations, not just being a rage quitter.
I thought of that as I was saying that. I'm like, oh, wait, you're management in both real life and in your gaming life.
Right. Oh, life's hard, man. Can never get a break.
It is, man.
Always dealing with people's shit and then getting blamed because I didn't fix it.
It sounds about right. It's always Sean's fault.
Oh, true. So what's your first world problem?
So, I'm getting fucked by the post office and not in a fun way, Sean.
Oh, man.
Like, out of the last, like, five things I've ordered, four of them, like, came, like, oh, almost a week late.
Yeah.
And now I have, like, a couple of things out. And, like, I ordered some stuff for work for tomorrow from Amazon.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can get some of it on Saturday and some of it on Sunday, or you can just go ahead and get all of it on Sunday and we'll just deliver it all in one box. And I'm like, you know what? I don't need, like, to be, like, dude on Reddit to post, like, hey, I ordered four things from Amazon and got these four giant-ass boxes. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't need it till Monday. I'll get it on Sunday. And so I checked today. I'm like, wait, I haven't gotten a notification from Amazon that it's out for delivery. Oh, it's still in Texas. Cool. I don't think it's going to make it here today.
Probably not, man.
And then I ordered a shirt from Bottle Logic that shipped on Tuesday. And it was like, oh, it's going to be delivered on a Thursday. And I'm like, cool. And so then Thursday, it didn't show up. And I checked. And it's like, it's, you know, it still showed it was
in North Dakota. From,
wait. So it was in transit from Anaheim to Riverside, right? Which is like a 26-mile drive.
Correct.
And so then, and I'm like, okay, well, something happened. Whatever. Post office issues. Trump. And then, so I got home on Friday, and I'm like, wait, I signed up for the text alerts to let me know when it's like loaded on the truck. It'll be like, oh, your package is going to be delivered today. It's on a truck. I, you know, signed up for those text alerts.
Yeah.
And I thought about it. I'm like, I didn't get one. So I checked. It's in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Wow. That was half right.
Yeah, so I... Oh, so I, you know, took a picture, a screenshot of the tracking information, and I put it on the stories for the Instagram for the podcast, and I was like, hey, Bottle Logic, did you know that the quickest way to get to Riverside from Anaheim is through Grand Rapids? And they actually replied back, and they're like, hey, we don't pick the routes with, like, emojis or whatever, and I'm like, wait, do they know I'm joking, or do they think I'm, like, one of those whiny bitch-ass people that, like, complain that they don't get one of their beer, like, how come your beer sold out before I could buy some? I've been drinking your beer since you guys first opened. I'm never shopping there again.
Was it like the laughing?
I don't want to be one of those people.
Just shaking my head.
They said like laughing and something else and like sparkles. So I don't know if they were trying to like calm me down. Like, look at the shiny sparkles. Don't like be mad.
Maybe.
But I was just like, dude, I was like, I'm not mad, man. I know it's not your fault. I said, I just thought it was amusing in an annoying way. But yeah, so apparently to get from Anaheim to Riverside, the 26-mile drive, you have to go through Grand Rapids, Michigan is the shortcut now.
I don't even know how it got there because it's not even like a giant hub. Like, I would understand if it got like accidentally sorted to like, you know, to the wrong like major hub. So if it went to like Chicago or something like that. But how Grand Rapids, Michigan?
Right. That's, yeah, of all places, that's pretty weird. And it's oddly enough, it's a place we've both been.
Oddly enough.
Man. On our beer journeys.
Exactly.
So, Sean.
I was going to say, what are you drinking to to clear your worry? Yeah.
I'm drinking, it's a collaboration between Harland Brewing in San Diego and 8-Bit Brewing. And they say Temecula, but it's actually like Murrieta. Because it's like right like a block away from the border for Temecula, but I guess it's close enough.
They don't want to be known. Hey, sometimes, man, all it is once the street is all that you have to divide the cities. They should just own it. You're Murrieta.
Yes.
You're not Temecula. So, is that like the new white spot, Temecula?
I don't know, man. It's There's opening up a lot of breweries down there, though. I know that.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what's going on. I haven't been down there for a while. I haven't been anywhere for a while.
I don't even know it's what fun. Life is outside of this house and my work.
Dude, my family's like crazy because my parents are both like at risk if they got the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But then my family decided to like have an entire family beach day yesterday.
Nice. I guess you didn't go.
And we did not go. We were like the only two. Like my brother's wife put it together. So it was my brother's family with his kids and their girlfriends. My sister and her husband and their two kids and my parents all went.
Yeah.
And it made Jody cry. I felt like a jerk, but she also said it wasn't my fault. So that's the first time that she's actually said that when she was crying. I can't believe it.
Oh, man.
But this beer I'm drinking, it's one of the beers that Apit seems to have been specializing in lately. Like, they do a really good job making these. So it's a sour double IPA. Mm. And so it has blackberry, plum, apricot, passion fruit, and then it's dry hopped with both Citra and Mosaic.
Hmm. That's a lot of flavors to add.
And it comes in at 8.5%.
Nice.
And it's very much like the color of the fruits. It's like a nice red color.
Mm-hmm.
It almost looks like a melted Slurpee.
Mm-hmm.
And when you smell it, you can smell like the fruit, but like the hops, you know, like you can smell the dry hopping.
Yeah.
Like the fruit doesn't overpower. And when you drink it, you get the upfront taste of the fruit with the bitterness of the hops on the end.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I really like this style of beer from them. They've had like a whole line of them. But the other reason why I'm drinking this beer is because they're losing one of their brewers. He got a job, I guess. Other half that's based out of New York is opening a location in Washington D.C.
Mm.
And so he's getting a job out there brewing. So he's moving out to the capital to brew for Other Half, which probably fits in line with like it's not like he's going to like a completely different. A brew with a different culture, because Other Half also specializes in hazies and sours, so I think he'll fit right in there.
Gotcha. Is he taking over, like, a head brewer spot or something?
It seems like it is.
That's cool.
So that's pretty cool. Yes.
Nice.
So what are you drinking, Sean?
I've yet to drink this beast. We'll see how it goes, right? All right. Well, for a nitro, that was kind of disappointing.
That's what she said?
Oh, man. You know, when you try to be fancy on the show and it just backfires, and now you just feel like you don't even want it anymore.
At least it didn't explode. It could have gone the other way.
Well, I had...
I've heard podcasts where they do that. They open a beer.
Well, I had my two hands around it just because of past times with beer exploding all over my laptop. So I did have... You know, I was prepared for that. But, you know, when you open up a nitro can, typically, like, you're, oh, the tab already fell off, too. Cool. This is going great.
That's why we can't have nice things, Sean.
No. You usually get, like, a loud hiss out of it, and right away you should have known that I was drinking a nitro beer.
Right, it's like when you open a can of tennis balls.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all because they're all packed in it with nitrogen, and you get that like, and then you get high off the initial smell of the rubber from the tennis balls and the air in there.
Yeah.
Oh man, to be back in high school and huffing tennis balls.
The 90s was such an easier, simpler time.
It was, man. Simple pleasures in life, like huffing tennis balls. What you doing over there? I'm huffing balls, man.
That probably would have been taken a different direction. Tennis balls, I swear.
Whatever, man.
No, not balls, tennis balls. I swear, man. I swear.
Dude, whatever, man. You don't gotta explain yourself to us, man. We're not judging you. And by we're not judging you, I mean we're totally judging you. So anyways, what beer are you drinking, this nitro-based?
I got this out of my dad's beer care package a few months ago, because I'm trying to clear some of that up. This is from Wasatch Brewery. It's called Nitro.
Wasatchits?
Yeah, Wasatchit. Wasatch? I don't know. Wasatchit? Brewery. It's called Nitro Polygamy Porter. And it was kind of funny because my girlfriend pulled this one out and she was like, she's like, why would they call it polygamy? It sounds like some kind of Mormon thing. And I look on the back and I'm just like, well, it's from Salt Lake City, so, you know, it fits.
Yeah, you know, you name your beers to the crowd.
Right. But the description just continues to make it better. So it's like, you know, tastes like chocolate, creamy, toasted. She's on nitro. Meet the sister wife of our classic brew. This nitro-gened version is the chocolatey and easy drinking as the original, but even softer and creamier. It's okay to love them both.
Oh, yes. The sister wife.
Oh, man. Good times. I think it is funny because, like, on the bottom it says, 12 fluid ounces of beer. Instead of just putting like 12, like the measurement side.
Yes. You know, I was like, I'm glad you kind of brought that up unintentionally, but you know, after having a couple beers in the 12 ounce can size, It's a very nice size to drink beer in. Like, especially like a high ABV stout.
Yeah.
Like 12 ounces is like the perfect like size where it's like, you know, you open a 22 ounce bottle or a wine bottle, the 375, and you're like, fuck, I'm going to have to pour some of this out or share. But since we can't hang out with people, I guess I have to pour it out. And even a 16 ounce is a little hard after like the last couple ounces, but 12 ounces, man, it's like you drink most of it. And at that point you're like, I don't want any more. And you're like, ah, there's only a little bit left. I'll just chug it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. So it's not as carbonated as I would have liked. It's not giving me that nitro like fluff in your mouth. You know what I mean? It's just not like, this is not the, so I don't know, maybe it just lost a little bit of its carb or something, but it's definitely not giving you that nice nitro fluffy taste on your mouth.
So maybe like the bubble popped,
maybe
previously. Maybe it lied to you and it wasn't a virgin.
probably not.
You know, there's that subreddit, men riding women.
I've never heard of that.
That's subreddit. Pretty funny. Like, you never have. It's like basically novel, like men writing like from excerpts from books where men just like have these like ridiculous ideas of like women like getting turned on or women's thought processes or like the way guy like the main character being a male when he sees a woman the way he like describes her in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was one and it was like gonna have sex with this woman and he reached down like slid down to find her clitoris and he found out there was no opening and it's like, and that made him know that she was a virgin. And someone's like, wait, so like the vagina, there's no vagina there until there's a presence of the penis and then it like blooms like a flower.
Yeah.
So that's like your, and then, you know, yeah, all sorts of like descriptions of like breasts heaving and nipples getting hard. It's pretty funny to like, mm-hmm, like some of the crazy shit that men think happens to women.
Yeah,
so enough. Yeah, so you're, like, your beer was not a virgin, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, I'm almost curious. I mean, I think it's almost like flat. To your point, which is a shame because it does have a very wonderful chocolatey taste for this porter. So, because it's 6% ABV.
Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
On the ABV.
Yeah.
Yeah, I opened a beer yesterday, and it was like a beer brewed in Belgium, and it was like a spontaneous lambic.
Oh, nice.
Blend. And I poured it, and like it just poured out like it kind of just gently fizzed. It didn't really like there was no head or anything like that, and so I was like, is this supposed to be like this? So I went on like Untappd and Beer Advocate and had more in depth reviews on Beer Advocate, and they're basically either like, oh man, this thing's almost a gusher too. Yeah, this thing's like no head at all, like champagne-esque. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, so I guess I got the champagne-esque version of it. Mm. So, Sean, you picked a beer that your dad sent you. Is there a reason in particular?
Well, besides trying to just get rid of old beer, he actually brought up some interesting questions that, you know, I don't think the everyday person kind of knows. So I'll take the first one. And then, Danny, you could probably help me with the second one a little bit.
All right.
So the question is how do breweries decide what the alcohol level will be for their beers? And so basically, you know, beer is part science and part art. But there's multiple different ways to do it, but really there's different computer programs out there now that say that basically do all the math for you. So you're going to make a IPA. So you could tell it, you know, you could put in how much grain and hops you're going to do, and it'll give you the ABV expected ABV and IBU and all that different stuff in there. So there are some nice programs that the home brewer could get. I think there's one called Brewer's Buddy or something. I've thought about getting, I just haven't done it because I'm lazy. But yeah, so
what?
Anyways, ignoring Danny's stupid ass comment. there's a lot of the time it's like there's a general rule of thumb too, I forget it off the top of my head of how much like pale malt you need per gallon to get you to a certain level of grain. So usually when I'm trying to get up closer to a higher ABV, I'll be trying to do like 3 pounds of malt. And then some of it too is what they do to get some of these beers too is, you know, we talk about striking water amount and then kind of the boiling process. So part of the boiling process is to release water, you know, the steam, and let it go out so it condenses the amount of sugar in the per gallon. And that's how you get more ABVs and you get those higher original gravities. Because you need a certain amount of water to pull the sugar out of the grain. So that's the other way to get a lot higher ABV is, you know, you're only going to get a somewhat decent level efficiency pulling sugar if with limited amount of water. So you have to use more water to pull more sugar out and then let it boil over and just kind of let it drop out. So it's all very calculated things, and there's like, you know, if you use 3 pounds of grain, you have to use X amount of striking water and whatnot to do that. So there's computer programs that basically help them fine-tune their recipes and get the IBUs that they're going for. So because different hops are going to give you different acid levels, so you could put in like, I'm going to use Citra hops for, you know, for the alpha acids in the beginning of the boil. So how much do you need to get to an IBU of X? Then it'll tell you based off how much you're brewing. So that's the more science part of behind the scenes on how do breweries kind of figure out their recipes and get to their 5.6% ABV. So it's all
ABV.
ABV. It's all calculated.
Right. And the other thing, too, is, like, certain styles almost dictate the ABV. Like, if you just have a normal, like, porter or stout, it's going to be generally between, like, 4 to, like, maybe 8%. Mm-hmm. And then once you get above that, that's when you start getting into, like, the imperial porters or stouts.
Yeah, and keep
same thing with, like, IPAs. Like, a normal IPA. I was just say IPA is like normal, like 6 to 9%, and then above that, it goes into the Imperial IPA, which is just basically the fancy word for higher ABV.
Yeah, exactly. And when we talk about original and final gravities, which it kind of helps describe the body of the beer, usually you're going to have IPAs are going to have a final gravity less than 1.010. If you get it under that, it's pretty good. But if you think about like an oatmeal stout where you're pulling extra starches out that are not sugar, you're gonna be like over that you know mark, and that's what gives us stouts and porters that feel like we're chugging motor oil because it's so much you know thicker. But that's because you know the final gravity is higher because there's more content in there. So, the more you know.
Right. Exactly. And he also asked about the IBU. What does that mm-hmm. basically mean?
And
that stands for, like, the International Bitterness Unit.
Mm-hmm. And I believe it's the higher the IBU, the more bitter it is. Correct?
Generally, the more hoppy it is. Yeah. Which is, all like, I guess, bitter.
Well, yes.
Also.
Correct.
Hence the word bitterness in the International Bitterness Unit, Sean, yes.
Well, you said hoppy, but yes, you're on to the right point. IPAs and IPAs is one of the most bitter beers out there, so usually those are ranked a lot higher. Like right now, I'm drinking a lager, and that is at a 20 IBU, so...
Right, and like for a while there, like in the mid to late 90s, there was a basically an IBU battle from some of the breweries, basically trying to see who can like make the most bitter beers. Mm-hmm. And so like the standard Stone IPA is about 77 IBU.
Mm. Nice.
And so, and for like, there was one beer that I don't think they make it anymore, but Green Cheek, I mean, not Green Cheek, Green Flash in San Diego, they had a beer called Palette Wrecker. And basically, you know, when we did the tour of Stone, they talked about that. Like, if you just basically take a hop and eat it, it'll coat your tongue and you won't be able to taste anything anymore from the just the wax. There's like a wax in the hop. And so that's why, like, if you drink, like, hoppy beers, and that's why this beer is called Palate Wrecker. Basically, there's so many hops that it's just going to coat your tongue and you won't be able to taste anything else.
Yep.
But I was looking to see, like, some of the most hoppiest beers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a beer. It's literally called Fucks Your Shit IPA.
Please tell me they still sell that.
It's a brewery, and it looks like it's in England or somewhere that also uses the pound as currency.
Gotcha.
But let's see. At this point, when they took a picture, they had a pale ale, a stout, IPA. They had two IPAs, a licorice stout, and they broke the world record for the highest IPA IBU beer in their Fucks Your Shit IPA at 2,600 IBU.
Yes.
Like the top 10, the lowest one is 1,000 IBU.
Wow.
Or 658, I'm sorry. And then it goes up to 666 for a beer that basically everything's 6.66. So 666 color, 6.66 UBC on the color, IBU 666. The guile number is 666 and the ABV is 6.66.
I appreciate that.
And commitment. It's a 666 second boil with concentrated Columbus extract. Latte hopped with Citra, Simcoe, and Sriracha Ace.
I do appreciate that commitment, though. That's some determination right, if you're right gonna there.
Their computer formula, if they did this before their computer formula to help them, the computer program, then like they deserve even more credit. But even then, the computer program deserves a lot of help credit if they did use it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man! So this came out in 2015. But like at 2600 IBU, I mean, at that point, that's like eating the ghost, basically the equivalent of like the spiciness of a ghost pepper. Like if you just eat a ghost pepper, like you don't get any flavor, you just get heat and you hate yourself, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say it does. Do you? Does it? I wonder if the bitter scale just reaches a point where you can't tell the difference anymore, and it's just like science based on what the level is. You know, like when you hit that level of cold outside where. Even though it gets colder, like, you can't tell the difference because it just doesn't register.
Like when I went to North Dakota in January and it was, like, negative 44 wind chill?
Yeah. Like, can you really like tell if it... Yeah, can you really tell if it was negative 60 versus negative 40?
Or negative 10 versus negative 40?
Right. Shit's cold.
Dude, I'm just tripping out on this beer. Like, 2,600 IBU. Like... At this point, like, you're not going to be able to taste any food for, like, the better part of a day if you drink this.
What is it called?
Like, this should be the last thing you drink before you go to bed.
What's the beer called?
2,600 IBUs.
Yeah.
Fucks your shit. Fucks up your shit. I'm sorry. Fucks up your shit.
I was going to say, are you sure it's not from Scotland?
It's somewhere out there. Like I said, it's somewhere that uses the pound as currency.
Yeah.
So it's probably somewhere in the UK... United Kingdom, one of their colonies or something.
Right.
Oh man. Oh, and it's three. It's three. It was 3 pounds for a half pint.
Oh, I bet it's something they don't even bottle.
Oh no, I'm sure they don't. I think they just made it once to like break the world record and then be done with it.
Oh yeah.
Probably. Because the previous record was 2,500 held by flying monkeys in Ontario, Canada. Like they're all like it's like oh McKellar, okay, that's like it's all like European or Canadian breweries on the top 10,
of course,
pretty much.
Do you know why? Do you know the history of Indian pale ales?
Basically, it's which is to me kind of a funny history considering how people talk about them now, but like, the beer, like, on the trip from England to India wasn't surviving, so they threw hops in there to basically help it to last longer and it wouldn't go bad.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, if you have an IPA that's more than 30 days old, beer nerds will tell you to just dump it out because it's garbage. Because it's gone bad.
Right.
So it's like, wait, the original IPA was made to last, like, on months-long journeys on slow-ass boats. But this beer has been sitting in your refrigerator for 30 days, and now you got to throw it away. I don't know, man. It's weird.
Doesn't make any sense anymore.
Nothing makes any sense. Oh, man. Speaking of nothing making any sense, dude, we got hit by some sad news yesterday, Sean.
Sad, sad news.
Chadwick Boseman, actor, passed away at the age of 43. And apparently nobody knew he was sick. Even, like, I was reading this interview with Spike Lee, and they were making a movie with him. Like, they're making a movie together, and Spike Lee was like, yeah, dude. Like, he was out in the, like, jungle because it was a Vietnam movie. And, like, nobody knew he had cancer, and nobody knew he was undergoing, like, chemo or doing any treatments. Like, he came out and just was tearing it up with everybody else. But, yes, he died of colon cancer.
Yeah.
And you know what the fucked up part about this is, Sean?
What?
I'm going to get a little SJW on your ass.
All right.
So... When Tom Hanks filmed was filming Philadelphia, right, he won an Academy Award for the movie he made the previous year. And he went up on stage and he looked super, like, sickly from, you know, because he's supposed to look like an AIDS patient. And everyone was like, oh, my God, dude, is Tom Hanks going to die? Like, is he sick? And this, you know, this is basically, like, pre-internet, so no one could Google if Tom Hanks had any, like, upcoming roles that would require him to lose weight a la, like, Christian Bale in The Mechanic. So when Chadwick Boseman, like, posted a picture of him, like, you know, basically having lost a lot of weight into quarantine because of his cancer, people were making jokes about him. It's like one of the comments I saw was like, oh, 1 month into quarantine, we've gone from the Black Panther to the Crack Panther.
Wow.
And it's like all these other comments about him, like, basically, like, to the point where, like, they had to, like, shut down his social media for no comments allowed on it because of his, like, people weight shaming him and, like, basically it's like, is he doing drugs?
Jeez.
And it's like, why didn't you say that about Tom Hanks? I mean, I know Tom Hanks is a good guy, but that so is Chadwick Boseman, man. Like,
yeah,
he's made in the 4 years that he's been diagnosed with colon cancer, he's made 7 movies, visited multiple kids in the hospital. You know, like he's an awesome human being, and yet these assholes had to be like, oh, look at the black man losing weight; he must be on crack. Mm-hmm. I still haven't seen 42 though. I need to watch that movie.
Yeah.
The Jackie Robinson story.
Yeah, I haven't seen, like, I just don't watch movies. That's probably the best thing to say.
No, you don't. Apparently, Bill and Ted and the new X-Men movie, I forget what it's called, they've been showing the trailer for like 5 years on that one. They came out this weekend that you could stream and pay to stream it, but it's like, nah, it's cool, man. I'll just wait till it's like on Netflix or Disney Plus or something.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize.
Or Hulu.
Who cares? So what, you just go to like the PlayStation site and do it, or do you have to go to certain websites to stream it?
I'm sure you could find it through the PlayStation like store, or
it's not 40. You said it's $40.
That was $30, and that was for Mulan. I don't know how much these movies are. They're generally like $20 or $30.
Jesus.
Which sucks if you're like a couple, or if you're by yourself. But if you're like a family of like 3 or more, then it's not that bad of a deal.
True. That is true.
But they also like they showed Bill and Ted at the drive-in theater by me in Riverside, and one of my buddies that I'm Facebook friends with, he said he went and thought it was pretty amazing, and it basically wrapped up the story very nicely. So,
That's good. At least they did something good.
But then I sent a picture to the group chat on Facebook Messenger that you invited me to, with the rest of the OG Destiny group, and I sent a picture of like Keanu Reeves looking like Snape from the 80s.
You did. I mean, it would be fun. We could get the gang back together for more VOG in November.
Yes. Most of them.
Yeah, I mean,
I think the Gecko.
Yeah, Gecko felt like he was half tempted.
Oh man. Well, Mike's lost in the forest. Gecko's like got that Mexican internet, so I think it's just going to be you and I can't think of her name. Brownie.
Shit, dude, I barely play with Brownie. Yes. It's like
phrasing.
Sometimes I play Destiny with Brownie, because she's only on
when like, I was a kid. The week,
and then on the weekend mornings,
right? And weird hours.
Yeah,
when I was younger,
I was gonna say the rate I had to do on Saturday was like at 10 a.m. So that way, she got like home right after work and was able to play, because she doesn't, you know, obviously she's getting ready to go to bed. She goes to bed relatively early, I guess, for a night shift. I don't even know how that fucking works.
Yeah, well, people with weird schedules keep their own weird schedule to keep their own sanity, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh man, but I was gonna say, when I was a kid, my dad had was friends with one of our neighbors, and he was like the first person that I knew that was into like computer gaming back when you had to like type everything in the C prompt. But in his computer room, he had all these like inappropriate like stick magnets and stickers and stuff. And he had one, and it was like a sticker that he had like thumbtacked onto a pen board, and it was, "I got kicked out of Cub Scouts for eating a brownie." Which. The brownies are like the basically like Cub Scouts is the younger version of Boy Scouts, so brownies are the younger version of Girl Scouts. So that's why that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
So, speaking of inappropriate, I guess, or acting inappropriate in an inappropriate way, Bella Thorne has like basically ruined OnlyFans for the people that actually rely on it for money.
I don't even know what to say.
And then, like, she's come up with two different excuses as to why, what happened. Mm-hmm. So basically, like, she made an OnlyFans account and set a price for $200 to get nude pictures of her.
Yep.
And when the people got the pictures, they were just pictures of her in lingerie. Which is like, seriously, dude, if you want to see her naked, just go on Reddit for free. They're all over. It's all over the place. Like, she, when she goes out in public, she wears like the most see-through shirts with no bras. And like at one point when she when like her show first finished, she's like, "Look, I got my nipples pierced. Everybody, here's my tits."
Yeah.
Like trying to get out of like the Disney stigma of being a good girl, Disney good girl. But so like her first justification for doing it basically is that she's like, "I wanted to bring attention to the site. The more people on the site, the more likely of a chance to normalize the stigmas." And doing this, I hurt you. She's like, "I'm a mainstream face, and when you have a voice, a platform, you try to use your you try to use you in helping others and advocate for something bigger than yourself. Again, in this process, I hurt you, and for that, I'm sorry." So basically, she wanted to normalize like sex and porn industry and people being on OnlyFans. But then before, like a while ago, she also said that she was going to make an OnlyFans account as research on a film with this director, Sean Baker.
Mm-hmm.
And the director immediately was like, "No, that's not true. Like, we only met and we kind of discussed maybe doing a movie in the future together."
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "I also advised her and her team to do more research before actually making the OnlyFans account."
Yeah, because basically what happened was that there was really no rules on how much you could pay on that site, right?
Right. So because of that, like when the people got the $200, got her lingerie pictures, they did chargebacks on their credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
And now they made new policies, and one of them is there's only so much you can charge for anything on there, and the other is instead of getting your money weekly, you get it monthly.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah,
so that's crazy. I don't know, man. It's just,
I wonder why is it monthly?
Probably just to make sure that, like, because, well, basically right now, like, OnlyFans is like almost bankrupt because they had to basically like give back $2 million to people.
Can't they just take it back from her?
I don't know. I'm sure they'll probably sue her to get the money back, maybe. That's the only way, but
yeah.
No.
Oh, man. Jeez. In the world of tomorrow!
So, speaking of lawsuits, we got a billion-dollar corporation fighting a multi-million-dollar corporation, Sean.
Yep.
So, basically, Epic, like, Fortnite got kicked off of the Apple Store, and then very shortly after, it got kicked off of the Google Store as well for the mobile devices.
Really?
Yes, and this all started because, you know, like Apple, you know, even when they first announced their like store for games and stuff, they were like, "Hey, we'll basically do all the work. I mean, like, you make the game and you put it on our site, and we'll make sure that the servers are good and this and that. And all we ask for is 30% of what you make on the game."
Mm-hmm.
And so everything was fine, and then Epic decided to make everything like cross-platform for Fortnite.
Yep.
Which included not just the consoles and the PC, but also mobile devices.
Yeah.
And so if you bought something through the Epic Store on your PlayStation, you can use that currency on the iPhone.
Yep.
But then they also lowered the price to $7.99 versus what iTunes was charging $9.99 for.
Mm. Oh, no.
And so Apple's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, that goes against the terms of service." And then Apple was going to go even further and not let them put up their I can't think of the name of the fucking game system that they made that everybody uses. But it's like, because people don't just use it for game systems, they also use it for like certain apps.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm going to get corrected, but I'm not going to look it up. But basically, like, their game, like, developing system that's been around forever. Apple's like, "Well, yeah, not only are we not going to let you put Fortnite on the store, but then we're not going to let any game or app that uses your development tools on the store either." And so Epic was able to at least go to like court and like have Apple like back off on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But they still don't have Fortnite on the store. And then like right like shortly after they pulled Fortnite off the store, they started like promoting PUBG heavily in their store. Like you go on the iTunes store and it's like, "Hey, check out PUBG. This is what all the cool kids are playing."
Right.
And then, did you play Grand Theft Auto 3, Sean?
It's the guy with the Hawaiian shirt, right? I think.
I think so.
Yeah, then I did.
It's basically the first one that wasn't like the top down.
I think I
but,
did.
But one of the radio stations on there was like a talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
And the host on there, people would call in with like crazy conspiracy theories, like one guy talking about killer bees coming in and taking over. I just remember that. Killer bees, Laszlo! Killer bees! But the host on there, he's gone on to work with, basically he's had like a radio station on every Grand Theft Auto since.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done a lot of like the dialogues for a lot of their other Rockstar games, like both Red Dead Redemptions.
Uh-huh.
But he ended up leaving. He's left Rockstar to like, his wife has gotten sick. And so he just couldn't keep up with like their workload that they wanted him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not going to have any more in the, maybe that's why they need to stop making Grand Theft. That's why they stopped making Grand Theft Autos at 5 for the last like decade.
That makes sense.
Because they don't have Laszlo anymore, Sean.
No.
And then, oh, I skipped one. G4 TV is coming back. Which,
what is?
As a web series. G4 TV, see, exactly, you're too young to remember this shit. So, there used to be, back in the day, there used to be, like, this TV network, basically, and, like, people would call in with computer, this is super pre-internet, where people would, like, literally call a TV station to help with fixing their computer.
Oh, gotcha.
And then from there, they started doing video game shows. And then, like, the main show had it was called Attack of the Show with Morgan Webb and Adam Sessler.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they got co-hosts, and one of them is Sarah Jean Underwood, who's, like, basically started in Playboy. And was, like, the hot blonde that would go do hot blonde things. But then also, that's where Olivia Munn got her start.
Gotcha.
And so now they're gonna, like, I was like, I've been hearing things about G4 TV coming back, and I'm like, what channel is it gonna be on? But it's not gonna be a TV thing. It's going to be a web series.
Interesting.
So it'll be interesting to see if like anybody actually watches it, especially in the day of like YouTube and Twitch. Mm-hmm. Like you don't need like game reviews anymore to the point you did in the past. Before, like when you could either watch Attack of the Show or you could like wait like a month and get like Nintendo Gamer Magazine or PlayStation Magazine to read reviews.
Yeah.
Not like you can, like, go online, like, the day before the game's released and read all the reviews.
Yeah.
And then, they released a new trailer for the Call of Duty game, Sean.
The Call.
And then they had to, like, edit it. They had to edit it and re-release it because apparently they offended China. Because they put some fake news in their trailer, Sean.
Oh.
They had, like, a scene that showed Tiananmen Square. In the trailer, and China's like, "What is this, dude? This never even happened. Why is it in your trailer?"
Yeah.
And Call of Duty, Activision was like, "You're right. It never happened. We'll take it out."
Bunch of bitches, man. Bunch of bitches.
Right.
Everything's political.
We've been watching some. Except the anime, Sean.
Anime,
especially
very,
anime boobs.
Anime is very is very political.
Well, actually, nobody's happy. With all the stuff going on with our poor lady Uzaki-chan, apparently anime boobs are very political.
Right? Oh, jeez. Anyways, I don't even know where to go at this point, man.
I mean, but, it's unfortunate that, you know, anime boobs are like is what people on Twitter care about so much.
Yeah.
And not in a good way.
Right. All right.
So
I started watching Peter Grill and the Philosopher's Time. So this is a new anime that's kind of came out. The episodes are pretty short. Not a lot.
13 minutes?
Yeah. But it's I just, like, this anime is, like, it's super ridiculous. Like, it makes no fucking sense. And the fact that it has started, like, a bunch of controversy is even more mind-boggling as well. Because, you know, basically it's this guy, he's, like, the best human champion or the best human fighter, and he ends up winning this champion. Also, he could, you know, hook up with the girl he loves, and of course, like, for whatever reason, is now that he's the grand champion, like, all these other girls are like, oh, we you have to sleep with us. We need you, you know, we need your seed so we could spawn the best children. You know, you're the grand champion. And of course, like, he just ran. Yeah, what's up?
I was gonna say, when you said seed, you misused the quote. The exact quote was, "I want your junk spunk."
Right. So he ends up like literally like. So he ends up like cheating on the girl like he loves for whatever stupid ass reasons he gets like caught up in, and of course like the girl that he loves is like. Somehow on the very far spectrum of, like, if they just hold each other and love each other, then a stork is going to bring them a baby. Like, it's just, like, way...
Yes.
Like, on the way up. Like, totally believes it. Like, it's... The shit that just goes on in these episodes is just so ridiculously stupid. And I almost find that that's part of the entertainment piece on it. It's because it's so, like... ridiculous. You just can't, like, it's so fake, you cannot even, like, it's just mind-boggling how dumb it is, but it's so...
Yeah, I watched the first two episodes. Yeah.
So, but it's funny, and, so I kept watching. I think I'm only four episodes in.
Yeah, he's had, like, at least in the first two episodes, he's had a threesome with Goblin Sisters because they want the strongest seed to carry on their strong... Ogre. Their strong ogre lineage.
Yeah,
and so yeah, because he's the grand champion, he's the strongest. So that's the one. That's like a two sisters, and the youngest one is the one that utters the line, "I want your junk spunk." And so, like, basically, her dad is like super protective, and like sees him as like her little, sees her as his little angel, and like no, like, and so, but he thinks that maybe if he wins, he'll at least be able to like garner enough respect to like
marry her.
They can get engaged and then get married.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, and there's an uncensored version of it, too.
Oh, of course. I believe that.
Yeah, I sent you the image in the group chat. I don't know if you saw it, because, like, I sent it to you, and then Gecko started talking about some random nonsense, so it probably got pushed back up into the...
I remember you saying something about it.
So. But yeah, so, you know, because in this one, like, you see the boobs are there, but they pull the J.J. Abrams lens flares. Where it's just like bright light covers the boot nipples and the naughty parts.
Right. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. But yeah, so like, it's perfect length too, like that 13 minute.
Yeah, because it just doesn't get tied up in too much filler. So the story does push through, even as limited as it is. So.
Exactly.
The next one I was watching was... Monster Girl Doctor. So, it's basically about a human, and I guess to put the backstory is like humans and like monster creatures have been fighting, and like so this, and they ended up creating like peace, and it's been like 100 years since the war ended, but obviously there's still a lot of, you know, feelings against each other for all the war crimes that they committed against each other. And so he becomes like a doctor because he wants the main character becomes a doctor because he just cares about everybody. But then of course it's like all these people are like magic, are like surprised, like a human is so good with like monster people, where it's just like with some, and I'm just thinking, like, you know, with some good schooling, I think you could probably like, and some good people skills, I'm not really shocked that, you know, he's a good doctor regardless. So,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
It, one of the things...
I only watched the first episode.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah. And like his assistant is like a snake girl.
Yeah. A lot.
That's like gets super jealous of him. Like.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but they also released a Neandroid. They're going to release a little Neandroid figure of her. And her sneakiness, so...
Yeah, well, they're childhood friends.
Yes.
So, of course, she loves them.
Of course, The childhood friend trope.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, all the, he helps, like, a couple of the other girls, and of course they end up getting crushes on them, so it's, like, not really surprising. Oh, episode 8's out. Interesting. That's good to know.
You're like, that's funny. You're like, it's not really surprising, and then you're surprised by something literally as soon as you finish that sentence.
Overall, it's, I don't know. I don't think it does anything great. I mean, there's a couple, like, random laughs in there, but it's very monster girl harem just tied together whateverness. There's nothing groundbreaking about it. I mean, like I said, it's got some funny parts, but it's not like it's one of the, it's nothing, like, special.
Right, like, you know, when you watch VRV on your phone, they have, like, comments that you can read about the episodes.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, a forum, basically, mm-hmm. that you don't get on the, when you watch it on, like, any other means.
Yeah.
And so I was reading that one, and people were like, as soon as, like, because the episode opens, and he's, like, doing an exam on, like, on a woman, and he's, like, has her his hands under her shirt, and, like, squeezing her boobs, and she's, like, moaning and, like, getting turned on. And then she, like, he touches her ear, and she moans more, and he's, like... And then the nurse comes in and gets all upset, of course, and then... it's, like, if, just as I suspected, you're pregnant. When, you know, when you guys get pregnant, your nipples, your boobs, and your ears get sensitive. And then the husband comes in, and it's, like, oh, yay, I'm pregnant! And then, like, he's giant, and, like, the wife is short.
Yeah.
And so people, first of all, they're like, yeah, as soon as I heard the moaning, I turned this off. It's like, I'm not going to deal with this shit on another TV, on another series. And then it's like, wait, how, he's so huge and she's so tiny. How do they have sex? And they're like, have you seen a picture of Shaq and his girlfriend?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the other part, too, is about him is, like, he always gets, like, way too, like, focused on, like, the doctor part. And so, obviously, like... It always turns into weird, embarrassing things going on, and you're just like, this isn't even, like, close to being real. Like, why would she be, like, to your point, like, you know, she's getting examined, and it's like, it just escalates, and you're just like, why? Why is this a thing?
Yeah. Like, the first one, he goes, and it's like the gladiators, and there's, like, a centaur, and she's, like, the leader and all that, but then it's like, all of a sudden, she gets shy and bashful around him, and it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I might finish it at some point, but I don't know. I do like the look of the character design of the assistant, the snake lady, but outside of that, like, there's nothing, like, super special about the show.
Yeah, exactly. The other one I watched was Ao-chan Can't Study. This is also another small 13-minute episode anime. It's got, I think 12 episodes, and basically the main character, her whole goal is to study and get good grades and go to a very good university and move away from her dad, because her dad's, like, basically super embarrassing, and he's actually, like, a famous writer for hentai, so... An erotic.
Well, not just hentai, but, like, all sorts of erotic writing, like, from bondage lesson, like, yeah. Yeah, and I watched the first two episodes of this one as well. Like, I was like, oh, it's only 12 minutes. I can watch more than one.
Yeah.
Or 13 minutes.
Yeah. So, like, and of course, like, there's a guy that's constantly, like, wants to, like, hang out with her and date her, and, you know, she ends up, it's the whole, like, love story where she doesn't want to love him, and then eventually, like, he starts to grow on her, and she gets mad about it, and then, but then, like, she'll, like, turn around and be like, don't, you know, don't go, like, even though she was, like, her whole plan in the first six episodes is just finding ways to break up with him and to reject him. So, it's got some pretty good laughs. It's a pretty funny love story. And with it being only 13 minutes and pretty focused, you get through the anime pretty quick. So I would say it's a fun watch. It's definitely easy to get through, so it's worth the watch.
Right, like in the first episode, she kind of gives her theory about why boys are bad, and it's like they want to violate your holes. and like, I mean, it makes sense that, like, her her view of like sex is distorted because her dad isn't just like a writer, but he lives the life. Like she comes home and he's like short, which is weird.
Yeah.
Like his character design is like just random. It seems like seems like no reason other than like someone was like drunk or high when they drew him and decided to stick him in the show.
Yeah.
But then he comes home and she's like, make me my titty pudding. And it's like, is that some sort of misspell? Because T-I-D-D-Y, like, I know what anime titties are. And that's the way he said it. And then, so she's like, get it. I already made it. Go get it yourself. And she's like, well, if you don't get it, I'm going to go up to your school and tell everyone I'm your dad. She's like, fine, I'll do it. And then she brings it out and it's literally a scoop. It's like a plate of pudding in the shape of a titty with a nipple. And he's sitting at the table like a child because he's child size. And she, like, throws the spoon and, like, smashes it, so I guess he can't put it on the Instagram. And he's like, I don't want to talk to any man. And then he's like, oh, that must mean that she likes somebody. And so he, like, puts this plan in to get his daughter laid while she's trying to, like, be a good student. And so that leads to a lot of her problems, is her dad just, like, not minding his own fucking business. Like, there's the part where she's like, I'm going to tell him I don't like him. And she goes to say it, and then the dad, like, uses a fishing pole to lift up her shirt.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. So,
but yeah, it is pretty funny. But 13 minute episodes. I hope that's like the new trend in anime, Sean. I'm not gonna lie.
I think it depends on what it's about, because I feel like a lot of like stuff that's taken from manga makes sense, but and then even like Love is War, even though it's a full episode, to your point, it's like broken up into smaller stories.
Right, it's kind of like how like a lot of like old like cartoons are like on where there's like a 30-minute show, but there's like SpongeBob where it's like a 30-minute show, but there's basically two 12-minute cartoons with a commercial with two commercial breaks in a 30-minute episode.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, someone's revolutionizing the anime world, Sean. I'm just glad we get to be a part of it.
All right, everybody, that's it for today's show. Thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode. Make sure you check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, all those random-ass places. Make sure you're writing us reviews for iTunes, and all those definitely help us pump up our numbers, make it easier for us to get seen. Danny, it was another fun-filled one, man.
Definitely. Definitely fun. And boobs. And actually, titties. If we're talking about anime, it's titties. Well, Bella Thorne was there, so we got boobs too. Actually, real quick, I'm sorry. I skipped something, Sean, and I want to talk about this. Actually, I'll just wait till next week.
Stay tuned for Danny's mystery topic. Woo! Ooh. We'll see you next time.